Jesus, we thank you that we are able to come together and hear your word, even though we may be scattered abroad and there is a distance. Yet, Father, you use everything, and you are even in this last days using technology in which we can hear your word. For Lord, it is important that we partake of this heavenly manna, that we not only eat of this manna, but that this manna, every time we come together, is fresh and new to consume. Father, our heart's desire is to appropriate this word, to live this word for your glory, and that we know that faith comes by hearing the word of God, and help us in your mercy and grace to mix faith with that which we hear now, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I have a title for us to talk and discuss about tonight, and it's called Hold the Reins of My Mind, Lord. Hold the Reins of My Mind, Lord. And I want us to turn to a very familiar few verses that probably a lot of us have underlined. In Isaiah 26, chapter 26, I want to look at verses 3 and 4 of Isaiah 26. And here Isaiah is inspired to write of the glorious salvation that Israel has, that we too have in Christ Jesus. And here we take it up in verses 3 and 4 of Isaiah 26, which says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in you the Lord is everlasting strength." And he goes on to how he brings down the lofty high places and the pride and so on. But I want us really just to really concentrate on these two verses. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. It's a mind, as we're seeing here, that is set on the Lord, and can only be set on the Lord if you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, that you have that new nature. Not only a new nature, but that you are also destined as that overcomer, the first fruits unto the Lord. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. And here again, it speaks of this faith, trusting in the Lord. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yahweh, the Lord is everlasting strength. So the mind has to be set on the Lord, and God, as always, takes the initiative to move on our behalf, because we know the scriptures clearly tell us that God first loved us. So he knows that he has to put a new nature within us, which is his nature in the second Adam, Jesus Christ himself. But not only that new nature, but the affections, the desires, the power, everything that is within that new nature. This is why you become born again, a new creation in Christ Jesus. And this is a miracle, how God does this. And this is why I'm constantly saying that our experience with God each day should have a supernatural element that is attached to it. Our walk each day should be revealing and showing us that this cannot happen unless the Holy Spirit is in my life. Unless I am that new creation, this cannot happen. And God wants us to see this and experience this in our lives. And along with this, we have to see that our minds are being changed, are being worked upon. And this is why, of course, I'm calling this teaching tonight, Hold the Reins of My Mind, Lord. Because if you are a new creation in Christ, you are that overcomer, that wise virgin, something within you desires and wants not only the mind of Christ, which we're to have, as the Bible shows, but that he would also take the reins of our mind. I still don't think that we have fully understood the importance of our minds being changed and worked upon. We need to have a deeper understanding and revelation of how God is working on our minds, changing our thinking, our attitudes, our motives. All of these things have to be worked upon. And of course, we know that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if it is in the heart, it is in the mind. If it is in the mind, it is in the heart. You cannot separate. It all works together. But we also know that the mind is being changed and worked upon. Just like we know the analogy of a computer. If wrong information is put into the computer, that wrong information will come out in time in a certain way. So we need that right information planted into our minds. And the way, of course, God does this, we have to be indeed a new creation. We have to be born again. We have to be filled with the Spirit, baptized with the Spirit. And we begin to realize that God is working on our minds. For no one can tame the mind of man. Why, medical science will admit to you that they only know very little about the human brain and about its function. And we know that we only use something like 10 to 20% of the brain to what it's capable of functioning at. So our brains are made for God, for his glory, to begin to understand him in this life. Our brains are for the glory of God. But the brain is still in many ways a mystery. And I think it always will be. And I think that God will only let medical science know just a limited amount to the human brain. I think there's a protection there. He's not going to let man know too much about the human brain. And the reason being is because it's so paramount for us to learn, to understand, to assimilate about God. Indeed, our minds and brains have to be worked on for us to be able to hear and understand and comprehend the Word of God. So that our heart and spirit is fed. Because we know that faith comes by hearing, reading the Word of God. And the brain is very active with regard as to how we hear, how we read, and how our heart, our spirit, our faith is quickened as a result. So it is a very big divine work that God works on with regard to our minds. And this is why, of course, I'm calling this teaching tonight, Hold the Reins of My Mind, Lord. You see, there is a power working within you and I, getting your attention and your thinking on God. He's all the while working both to will and do for His good pleasure in your life, so that it is in a sense like nudging you, pushing you, encouraging you, so that you can think upon the Lord, so that you can see, understand His mighty hand that is working in your life and in the church. All of these things are to influence the mind, as well as looking at His handiwork, His creation. We can look at wonderful colours of autumn that is coming now, how everything is taking on a different colour. We can look at so many things that God has created. We can look at the heavens and the earth and the stars and so on. All of these things that make an influence on us, that influence our mind, our thinking towards God. Why, tonight, this very meeting is to influence us, to quicken our minds, to deliver our minds, so that we can think yet even more upon the Lord. And sometimes we don't appreciate this, brothers and sisters, just what God is doing every second and moment in our lives. Why, He's even working on our brain, our minds, even when we're asleep. And we're not aware of that. So it is a very vast work that God's doing here with regard to our minds. But He's getting our attention. He's getting our thinking, our minds set upon Him. Is there a conviction within me that tells me in my mind that that is wrong? We have a conscience that's set within us, but that conscience can only be assimilated through the process of the mind, understanding and working it out in the way that we can understand it, so that we know that it is wrong to steal. But that has to be worked out so that we can understand, we can think that through, that that is wrong. I've stolen there. That is against God's will. So God is constantly jogging, working at our minds so that we can set our mind, our thinking upon God, upon those heavenly things. You see, the mind is the battlefield. Let's make no bones about this. And requires faith and a prayer life in which to help our minds. How do we know this? Well, let's turn to something we know very well in the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, chapter 4. And we'll look at verses 8 and 9. Of Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue of, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Well, meditation requires the mind, the thinking process. And so he says that if we want him to hold the reins of our mind, then there should be that desire to be able to think upon those things that are noble, we're told, things that are pure, lovely, things that are of a good report, virtue, praiseworthy, all the positive, in other words. Think on these things. Now, we've heard many, many times about what we're to think on. And yet so often we find ourselves thinking on the negative. Thinking the negative over that person. Or we are allowing ourselves to be negative over various things that we hear. Or maybe in the church. Or maybe about our husband, our wife, or whatever it is. And so if we find our thinking doesn't line up with God's standard and God's word, we find in time we become oppressed, fearful, anxious, because what is happening, the door is opening. Behind every wrong thought, there's a demon attached to that, feeding, speaking into that thinking, that mind. And we have to be on our guard with regard to this. And this is why we're saying, hold the reins of my mind, Lord. Because sometimes we are tried, we are tested. Sometimes we find there's a battle going on in the mind. And almost we can get to a point where we could scream, Jesper, a break. But God is trying to show that he is healing you in areas of your mind where you still have wrong thinking, wrong attitudes, which opens a door. And we know that our deliverance, much of it in nature, is God closing doors to areas of our mind. Now, of course, this is a miracle. This can only be a work of God. Psychiatrists, psychologists are trying to do this, but with little success. But God never fails with regard to changing and working upon the mind of a saint. For he will have that mind harmonizing with his. And again, it is a miracle how God does this. This is why he's changing our minds instead of thinking doubt, unbelief, thinking and confessing sickness and those things that the world is held and bound by. He's trying to close doors in our mind so that we can walk above that. And the way that we understand that is by our confession. We can hear it come out of our mouths. And what comes out of our mouths is what you are still dwelling and thinking upon. But you see, when we hear this, we have to do something about it. And this is where we have to bow the knee. This is where we have to call out to God and ask for that help to hold the reins of my mind, to change that confession, to change that area of thinking so that it will line up with your word, your promises. Otherwise, there's no point in us in really studying or hearing the word of God or going over these wonderful promises. What's the point of all of this if we don't desire our minds to change and be delivered in accordance? We're just simply being religious and coming each week out of habit. But that should not be of us. We're here tonight because something within us says, Lord, hold the reins of my mind, that I indeed may have the mind of Christ. And so, as we've read here, He says also in verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So he's speaking about himself. He's speaking, you know, this is how I think. This is what I meditate on. This is what I want for my brothers and sisters. This is what I want for the church. And it brings the peace of God on you, you see. So all the time, it's a conscious decision, a desire. Now, what about this anxiety and fear that fights in the mind? Well, if you go earlier back, let's look at verse 6 of the same chapter. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Guards it. Raises up a fort, a banner, so that the enemy cannot go any further. He can't cross over the line. That's what God does. But God does it on the basis of no anxiety, no fear, and on the basis of prayer and supplication, which we want to look at. So we see the mind is under great conflict, and it will be under greater conflict if there's no prayer in your life. So we make much about prayer. Jesus said, my house is a house of prayer. And there is a good reason for this. Not only, of course, getting prayers answered, but it's also working with us, with our mind. I'll just read briefly, we know this very well, in Jude 20, which says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And it then goes on about keeping yourself in the love of God and looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So here we get another indication, the importance of prayer and prayer in the Spirit, and how this is connected with regard to our minds, to anxiety as well. He says about that he, if we look back in Philippians, he says to be anxious for nothing. So in other words, we realize that anxiety, fear, is a problem, and it's going to hinder my prayers, and it's going to hinder the way I pray. So fear, anxiety is a great problem, and it's a huge problem in the house of God. But we see what it does, because it will stop you praying properly, it will stop you supplicating, and it will stop you from being a thankful person, and it won't be made known to God. Fear, anxiety is griping and moaning before God. And that's what the children of Israel did, because they didn't want to deal with that fear, that unbelief. So it caused them to gripe and moan, to come against Moses, and we know and we see in the end God gave them up in the wilderness. Well, we can draw parallels with this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. So you pray in everything with prayer and supplications, and with this, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So, with thanksgiving, you let your requests be made known to God. So, in other words, you are coming in faith before God, thanking and praising Him because He's heard you and will hear you when you come into His presence. How often do we approach God in prayer, praising and thanking Him that He's heard me even before I pray, which is what He requires there? Or do I still come with that anxiety, that fear, whether it be about myself or someone I've heard or somebody in the family or whatever it is? Little wonder our prayers are hindered, because we're appropriating it in the wrong way. And our minds need changing. God needs to work on our minds, delivering us. Because the question is, when we pray, whether individually or corporately, do we believe that God will hear, in fact has already heard, as we pray according to His will? The Holy Spirit will witness that to you. You will know in your mind, your thinking, your heart, if your prayers are prevailing before God. How do you know? Because He's delivered you. He's holding the reins of your mind. It is called faith. You know, according to faith, you have received in Jesus' name. And the reason we don't know this always, because the mind is still the problem. We still try to use logic. We still try to use things that we've heard, or carnal things, or fleshly things. And so, because it's still in us, when it comes to prayer, that wrong information keeps coming out, until God finally gets it out of the mind and the thinking, just like the wrong information in a computer. The problem is with thoughts and attitudes, the deception behind it is that is you. That is your character, or your mother, your father was like that. But you see, we're a new creation. You're not like your mother, you're not like your father, you're not like your great-grandfather or whatever it is. You are like Jesus. You are in His image. You are a new creation. All the old has passed away. This is why we are a supernatural people and should expect to see supernatural experiences and things happening in our lives. And if we are aware there is wrong thinking, if we are aware of seeing it coming up over and over again in certain ways, this is where we seek the Lord for that deliverance, that change. And indeed, He will do it. Because if He brings these things to our attention, He's showing that He wants to hold the reins of your mind in that area. And indeed, He will. I'm sure tonight, through this teaching, God will expose wrong thinking, wrong things in our mind. Very often it takes the anointing, the teaching of God's word, to bring about that deliverance. So many people are sick and they think sickness. They believe sickness. They believe the devil's lie. They listen to what it comes out on the news. or what they read in the newspaper, where there's a 50% increase of depression in society. Or we've seen an increase in strokes. It's gone up 50% over the last 10 years. And we take all of that in as though it's true. The devil lies. Most news you hear, whether it be on the television or in the newspaper, is lies. And yet we're so gullible, we take it in, we believe it. We think that they said it must be right because it's logical. Much of what we hear today, there's lies attached to it. Who is the God of this world? Satan at the moment. And what is Satan? He is a liar. And we take it all in. And we believe it. Oh, well, they're experts. They must know. Can we not see now why God is working like he is on our minds to get us delivered from this junk, from this stuff that is so contrary to his holy word? Are we going to believe the doctor's reports, or are we going to believe God's word? Are we going to believe what the bank manager says about your finances, or are you going to believe the word of God? And let that word change your mind, your thinking, to bring peace where there's still anxiety and fear. And I could just go on and on and on with this. I could make huge lists, but we're not here tonight to do that. We're here tonight to bring out God's word. So he says, with your prayers, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. A thankful heart and attitude is acceptable to God for your requests, for your asking to be made known to him. This is why you may be not receiving, because you don't receive because you don't have a thankful heart. So faith knows what to do. And with faith, with prayer, God wants to hear that thankful heart. He wants to hear saints when they pray, knowing that what they're praying in the Spirit, it will be answered for the glory of God. That's what he wants. And he can and he will do that. You see, this thankful heart and attitude, as I said, is acceptable to God because your prayers, your requests are to be made known to him. Now, the mind must have the right spiritual environment. It is essential if our minds are to be worked upon. This is why separation is important. This is why our gathering, our meetings together is important. This is why prayer, intercession, supplication is important. Because this works on the mind. As we draw aside and have our time with God, it's helping, encouraging, working on our minds. Because if God gets your mind, he gets your heart, he gets your faith, he gets you, your attention. This is how we've been made. And this is why the mind is a battlefield. And this, of course, is where the enemy attacks. This is where he speaks. Those demons speak to the mind. And they're so clever because they make you think that is you. That is your character. That is your makeup. They're very clever, very subtle. How they can work. How they can suggest, whisper in the mind, in the ear, in other words. And that's how he works. Well, you're not feeling too good. You're going through this. And remember, your mother had the same symptoms. She used to go through these problems and eventually she died. Listen to it? Have you listened to it? Oh, yes, that sounds so logical. Yes, that makes sense, doesn't it? Yes, I remember my mother was suffering this and, of course, she died of this. And this is what could be my problem. You've opened the door, you've got fear, you've got anxiety, you've got everything, you have listened to that lie. And it will take the grace and mercy of God to remove that from your mind and thinking. That is how the enemy works. And he works this in so many subtle ways. And always in nature, it is negative. But not with God. God's dealings with us, his word with us, is always positive. And that's what we battle with. The negative and the positive. Life and death. Those two laws. But we can decide what we want. And if we really mean business with God, then our heart's desire is, as this title says, hold the reins of my mind, Lord. Hallelujah. But we need the right spiritual environment if God is to do this work and to continue to deliver us in our minds. You see, there'll be times when you have to war over your mind. You may have to go through seasons. Maybe some of us after this teaching may find I've got to go before the Lord. I've got to get in warfare over my mind. My mind has been too subject and open to listening to things of the world. To all that negative. All that fear. All that stuff. And the only way I'm going to start to rise above this is to get into warfare. So that I get this deliverance. Because this is paramount to our faith in believing. Because we're told without faith is impossible to please God. Sometimes we find areas where it just seems impossible to believe in that area. I've got faith for other things, but in this, I just don't seem to have the faith. Well, that may be where areas in your mind and thinking, doors have to close. And it might require spiritual warfare. It may require a season, probably of warfare and fasting as well, to get that deliverance in the mind. And God will do it. He will do it. We're told that we have the helmet of salvation with the whole armour. It's interesting, the helmet, salvation, which means a new creation, made new, right connected with the helmet of salvation. So that's very interesting. That tells us something. What God does and is doing. So we are that work in progress. And what he's really, really doing with the overcomers, as I bring this to a close now, is he's really working on our mind, our thinking. Because it must line up, harmonize with God's standard, with God's word. And of course, that is only a miracle. Only the Holy Spirit can do this. So the question I can raise tonight, are you in faith to believe that God will work with your mind and deliver you and change you in those areas? Have you the faith for that, to believe for that? Why, that is a question in itself. Or is something within you, know, I've always been like this, I've always thought this way, and that's the way I've assimilated and taken things in, nothing can change. Well, that's exactly what the enemy wants you to think. The helmet of salvation is a miracle. The helmet of salvation should be an experience, that supernatural experience of God working, changing the mind, the thinking, the attitude. So often we're defeated by our attitudes. And behind those attitudes, wrong attitudes, they're demons. A lot of strife, arguing, bickering is wrong attitudes, a lack of love. And so behind all of that, they're demons. We're told in scripture it's devilish, demonic. Shouldn't be found in the house of God, but sadly at times it is. So deliverance is needed in the mind, the thinking. Maybe you came out of an environment when you were young, where the family, husband and wife, were bickering, arguing, criticizing one another. Well, that's where you have to be delivered. That's where areas in your mind, doors have to be closed. And the only way that will happen is to acknowledge it, to be honest, bow the knee in God's presence. I think sometimes we think to ourselves, well, it was my parents' fault. They were the ones bickering and arguing, and this was what was going on in the family. Why do I have to suffer as a result of it? That's the nature of what sin does. But the new birth, when you become a new creation, God brings down the sword and ends all of that in your life. And that is an experience. We should know that in our lives. When we become born again, new creations, overcomers, there should be an experience of a power working with our mind and thinking. Why we should be experiencing this tonight as we listen to this word. Something within us is working, changing by the power of God, by the anointing of the word. Or is it just simply another message, another teaching, but very little is happening in our lives? We should be picking up something supernatural when we hear the anointed word, because it's the power of God on our behalf, working, moulding, changing us into his image, his likeness, and so on. So there will be times, there will be battles in the mind. And that's why we guard our minds. And we ask the Lord to help us to hold the reins of our mind, that I have the mind of Christ. It should be an area with our walk and consecration that we take very, very seriously. Because our minds still are subject and open to things of the world. And we need to close those doors. And the way you close those doors is to stop believing this stuff that you hear. Because most of it has lies that are attached to it. Most of what we hear, whether it be news, newspaper, advertising, we're bombarded with it all, is for this world, for this age, the spirit of this age. You aren't for this world. You are for heaven. And we need to hear a heavenly news. We need to hear things that take us above man's negative, his fears, his anxieties, and so on. We know, you're all hearing it at the moment, all these things about Brexit, the fear that is behind it all, the what if, and everything. It's absolute garbage that we hear coming out. And yet, do we take it in? Are we believing it? We know what God is doing. God has shown us how to pray as a body. You're getting out. Deal or no deal. Close the door on it. Why? Because it's Babylon. It's Babel. Europe is a Babel they're trying to build. And God casts down Babels. Yet how many Christians see that? We need revelation to teach us God's will and heart in all these things. We're not of those of the world who are in absolute confusion. They can't discern the left and right hand. We're not of that ilk. We are a new creation, experiencing the mind of Christ, the revelation of his will, his word, which will always be contrary to the world, because the world hates God. And Jesus said, if they hate me, they will hate you. Yet we're still trying to side with it. We're still trying to be friendly with it. We still want the world to accept us because I don't want to feel rejected or lonely. This walk at times is a lonely walk, and God may get you on your own so that you get that relationship from him. It can be a very lonely walk. It was also lonely for Jesus. But hey, what's new? It's temporary. It's not going to last forever. We have the greatest, best future that ever could be presented to mankind, what we're destined for. Not only that, but eternity. Let's set our mind and hearts and affections on these spiritual things that are above, and all these promises that are there for us, and what our future entails. We need to turn our backs on this world. We're still believing it too much. It is a lie to the overcomer. So I believe these are just some of the requirements that God wants to do and work with us if we want him to hold the reins of our mind and stop believing these lies. Let us hear the pure truth of God through the Holy Spirit, because he said, if you know the truth, then the truth shall set you free. There's still a lot of freedom that is required and needed in our lives. If we are to go up in the rapture, if we are to look away from this world. Remember, I spoke the other day on Lot, his wife, how our heart was still in Sodom, Gomorrah. God's still getting out of our hearts. He's still getting it out. And the way it happens is to have a different mindset. And he works it in the mind. And with the mind, the heart. With the heart, you believe unto salvation. So none of this can be separated. It's a whole and complete work. And only God, who created our brains, our minds for his glory, is the one who can deliver and work and change these minds and our thinking and so on. So it's even important how we understand our teachings. It's important how we understand tonight this teaching. Because on the basis of it, that is what's delivering, working and changing our minds. And we all want to get rid of fear, anxiety, the what if, the negative, all those things that try to bring us down, because we know that wars against faith. And Satan knows how to do it. The number one demonic forces he uses in this world is fear. Fear creates most of what we see in society and what history shows us over every generation That is what fear does. Let us end with something we know very, very well, just to encourage ourselves in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. So that's the ultimate work of our deliverance, is that sound mind, a right mind, a balanced mind. In other words, the mind of Christ. That's what it means here. And that's what he's given to us through the new birth. He's not given us that fear, but he's placed that power, the power of God, that dunamis power, in which to bring about a change, a deliverance in our mind, our thinking, our attitudes. What a wonderful work. Only God can do that through his infinite love and mercy and grace. Let him hold the reins of your mind. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you again tonight that we stand before you in great need. We live in desperate times, and you are making us desperate people, because in desperation things then can be done. But Lord, equally, you never rush anything, and you never force us, but you're ever wooing us, encouraging us, and showing us that a deeper job needs to be done in our mind and thinking. Father, forgive us, Lord, that we still are influenced at times by the world and what it says, and the lies that come out. Father, help us to discern. Help us to test those things in light of Scripture. Let us only always be influenced, believing the word of God and your promises. And whatever else we hear, or whatever of the world, let's just shelve it and leave it there. It's just of the world. It's not important to us. We don't want those things that get in the way. We're on a journey. We're moving forward. We're in a race. We haven't time for these hindrances, Father. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you tonight. Thank you for the deliverance, change behind this word. May the fruit of this word be seen in our lives, our heart, our confession, our attitude, our thinking. Let none of this word fall on waste ground, we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
So disaster, let him in constancy fall.